For one day, it's Thursday, September 29th, 2022. This is the week in charts. I'm just going to thank all you guys and girls for attending tonight. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. So what are we going to talk about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, I have a plethora to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks. Crypto, I need to fix that slide. Second or third week running. And basically what I want to do tonight, I want to show you a crypto trade I mentioned last week during the presentation I took right before the presentation when I was getting ready. And I want to flesh out a few things there. But I want to update the market timing, and I want to talk, add in a few little concepts about the patterns being fractal and all, and that'll make sense in just a few minutes. I always hate to tell people when we tell them. I just rather tell them. There is a disclaimer screen. As you know, you lose money trading. Coins often sum it up. All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. All right, I want to do an update on the VIX. Last week, I talked about the fact that when the market does what it's done recently, the new normal becomes a much higher VIX. It begins to normalize, so to speak. And long story endless, just to kind of give you a Reader's Digest, Larry Connors, way back in the day, before I even met him, had some VIX systems that were based on a fixed amount, and that fixed amount, believe it or not, was 15. And I haven't seen 15 since I can remember. And when I started working with him, he had already started working around this issue. And I started using a lot of moving averages because he was teaching me about how it reverts back to the mean and all. So in the programming I was doing for him and on my own, I was doing a lot of moving average testing, and that's where my VIX systems came from. Anyway, by the way, somebody asked me today at Facebook, if you go in and watch the older week of charts, I don't follow any type of short-term system in and of itself. I use it to help me with market timing, but I don't actually follow it in and of itself. And the reason is, you take a look at something like the VIX, it sort of prints money for a while, but then you go in and look at like the pandemic, and it kind of blew up then. And then probably coming into the pandemic, it did really well, and it occasionally blows up. And I'll flesh that out in just a minute. But one thing that I have been doing, I'll show you a trade this week, and believe me, it's not that stellar, but I'll show you a trade where I use what I've been showing you lately and actually took the trade. And that's one thing that I love to do, is to discover something, teach something, and then actually get to show it to you in action. And I think that's probably one of the highest and best use for me. I'd love to just talk psychology a lot, as you know, and I really think that's the most important piece. But it's also important to actually see the methodology in action. And early on, as I've said 1,000 times in my career, it's like when I was paid to run scans and program scans and find setups, I thought a setup was a setup was a setup. And I quickly found out that the person I was running the scans for, they didn't want me to just mechanically run the scans. They wanted me to find the best of the best setups. And I had to quickly learn what that meant. And in the process, I learned how to read charts, which was really cool. Anyway, the thing about the VIX is what I've been experimenting with lately, and I forget how long it's been since I did my first presentation revisiting the VIX, but one thing that I've been doing lately is paying attention to it to see if there's any intraday trades via SVXY and UVXY. Now, you don't want to hold those instruments overnight because they're based on futures, and that gets really complicated really quick. But if you use the actual VIX, you can use it to kind of help you time those and possibly get an intraday trade off. And I'll show you that in just one second. So my thinking with my VIX systems is when the market gets stretched away from its moving average and stretches 10% or more. Now, as I've been saying quite a bit, you have to be careful because stretch can always become more stretch, especially to the upside. So you want to wait for that VIX to begin to make a turn, and ideally the market to make a turn, and it looks like everything's kind of turning around before you go in and take the trade. Now, this was yesterday. Now, just so in case you can't see the formulas over here, that's based on the close. This one here, the purple or violet, whatever color that is based on the open, and white is based on the high. So if you look up here at the VIX, and this is the S&P 500 in the background, this is a 10-day simple moving average. But if you look at the open and the high, they were both well above that 10% threshold. In fact, they were 20 to 25% higher. So I knew we were stretched, but I wanted to see if the market began to turn and the VIX began to turn before looking to play the VIX. And by the way, as I say often, I'd much rather play upside VIX than downside VIX. I think downside VIX, but there are times when you could do okay with it, meaning that you're betting that the VIX is going to drop, that volatility is going to come off. I'd much rather bet on volatility expanding because that gives you kind of an asymmetrical risk to reward. Your risks are fairly tight, or you can keep them fairly tight. And if this thing explodes, and you can look down here, this is percentage-wise, and in prior presentations, I talked about the supernova is when you have like a 600% move in the VIX. And sometimes it takes off and then kind of dries out and slowly comes back to moving average. But sometimes in a takeoff, it could really go like 20 points or so in some of these inverted VIX, or I should say up VIX products. Anyway, so based on the VIX action, I thought it would be a good time to try to fire up a VIX trade. And keep in mind, a lot of stuff is just kind of S&G trading. It's only 200 shares in this case. I did do it across multiple counts, but I didn't get rich on the trade. And I was actually hoping, obviously, for much more. But you can see when it began to break out, I bought the VIX. And at that point in time, looks like the market was beginning to make new highs. Futures were making new highs. And things were looking pretty good. So I said, okay, it looks like volatility is going to come back in a little bit. That reversion to the mean move may have started. And then I ended up exiting on the close. I think I started off, if memory serves, with a half a point trailing stop. And I was looking to make at least a buck or so on the trade before taking initial profits. But in this case, I never did get that dollar I was looking for. So I ended up exiting on the close or near the close. When it began to implode about 5 minutes before the close, I decided not to look at gift horse and then I often got out. So there's the trades down here, just a couple of shares of this account. And again, I did across multiple accounts, but I didn't get rich, you know, $112. Woohoo! Well, it's better than the poke in the eye. And as you know, lately I've been trying to get in at least one VIX trade as it sets up each week so I can show you this stuff in action. And I hate to use the word hope, but I'm hoping that one day we get that big upside VIX and I'll show you how to make all this worthwhile. All right, any questions on the VIX before we move on? We have a gentleman in our Facebook group named Jim, and Jim does a lot of his own market timing. He's been involved with markets for quite some time. Jim, I don't know if you're in here tonight, but how long have you been trading, if you are? If not, I can tell you he's been trading a lot longer than I have. And he's got his own way of timing the market. And I noticed that he does get out a little early here and there, and that's okay. And that's a whipsaw, and that's kind of frustrating. But like Greg Moore says, and we're going to, spoiler alert, we'll get to this in just 1 second, a bear market is devastating. You could survive frustration, right? So anyway, one thing to watch for is hourly turns. Now, you don't want to rush out and sell the farm, but you might have it appraised when you get an hourly signal. And there's other signals that we're watching, but an hourly signal can give you a bit of a heads up. So I just went in and grabbed, oh, I don't know, a couple of months of the P's, and I put in Bowtie Proper Order. This is my plugin through stockcharts.com, which, by the way, is free. Free for now. I might eventually charge for it. I need to talk to the owner and see what he says and see how he feels about it. But for now, it's free. Anyway, you can see down here, we have lots of green and some yellow here and there, but mostly green. And green just simply means that the 10 simple is greater than the 20 exponential. And the 20 exponential is greater than the 30. So 10 greater than 20, greater than 30. And you can see we had a decent trend on the hourly chart for quite a while. So that's pretty cool. And then it turned red. And then as you can see, we did have the rollover. And I'll show you exactly when it turned red in just 1 second. We had a little green during that retrace rally back up. It didn't last that long. And then what happened? Well, it went back to red and the market rolled back over. Now, if we go back to the slide that began this year, that began on 1/4. And we got an hourly bow tie down just one day later. So the point I'm trying to make here is it does pay to pay attention. And what I was hoping for, I know, hope, the reason this whole research started this morning was I got to thinking about, I was looking at Facebook posts and I noticed that Jim had exited his stuff a while back and was completely flat. And it got me thinking, okay, well, when is the turn up going to happen? And so I started looking for an hourly turn up, and we might be a long ways away from that, especially with today's action. But I think it's good to give you a little heads up. Let's start watching for that hourly turn up. And if I forget, somebody on Facebook remind me and let me know when we've got that hourly turn up so we can take a look at it. But you can see 1/5 again, we got the flip over and the moving averages. And nothing magical about anything I do, nothing magical about moving averages, but all this stuff can help to keep you on the right side of the market. And basically that's what we're doing, is we're trying to stay on the right side of the market. And as I'll probably reiterate in a few minutes, when it comes to market timing, some is better than none, so you don't lose half of your retirement, right? Anyway, we went green for a little while in here, but here's what's interesting, okay? And this is why I'm not a mechanical trader, and this is why I don't blindly follow things, although I do have some things that you could take and make mechanical, but I prefer to use both sides of my brain and take a look at what's actually happening in the market. So you can see sideways action in here. So I wouldn't have gotten too excited about that turnover. Maybe pay attention to the market. Maybe pay attention to the highest level since the turn and see if that gets taken out before getting too excited. And also draw your arrow. So you can see we kind of had a sideways movement. And then we went back to being red. And we've been red for a long, long time. But this is going, we did have a little green in between, like I just showed you. But I just wanted to go back to the top of the market and showed you what's happening on hourly. Now, remember, the hourly is going to turn long before the daily ever will. And then the weekly is going to take a while to turn after the daily turns. Although the TFM temperature system did trigger, which is based on a weekly chart, did trigger before the daily, which I thought was really cool way back when the pandemic hit in earnest, or when the market took it seriously, at least. So here's the 1/4/22 top, as you can see. And you can see we've had some big counter rallies in between. And I'm sure we had plenty of hourly bow ties turn up in between. And you probably don't want to get too excited about the market unless you have an hourly turn up, like we did back in July, I'm guessing. If we go back a couple of charts, you can see that. All right, any questions on the hourly or anything like that? Now, going further out, keeping with the fractal theme, if we go to a weekly, as I've been saying quite a bit, quoting Mr. Gayed and Vallejo, they did a paper, and I think it's on the 2-day moving average. I need to get around to reading it and finding it, but the gist of it, from what I understand, out of courtesy to them, I need to find it and read it. But anyway, out of courtesy, I think it's basically the premise is bad things happen below the 200. Well, that kind of dovetails in nicely with some market timing is better than none. So if you're below the 200-day moving average, if you're below the 10% buy line, if your bow ties have flipped over on a daily basis, hourly basis, weekly basis, you need to start thinking about maybe getting out of the way. So the whole premise was weakness begets more weakness. At least that's what I assume it is. But you can see that obviously we had the bear market 2008, and we had lots of downside bow tie, or downside bow tie proper order, easy for me to say, on the weekly chart, okay? And then it turned green, obviously. Then we had a little red again in late 2011. And even if you got out on some of those whipsaw signals, you could see that it did stay green or go back to green for a long, 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 long time. And I saw a while back, and I I'll have to find the post, but it was a post that Greg Morris had written. And this was years ago, but the market had some gyrations and it did go up longer term. And the point of their post was anyone who had kept pace with the market in the exact returns, the market was up however many percent, 30% or whatever period, should be questioned if they just buy and held, because that'll work until it don't. And they weren't taking any evasive action. And, you know, 2015, 2016, as I often say, even though the market didn't roll over, that was a very ugly period. And if memory serves, I was mostly out of the market and getting chewed up here and there trying to get back in on both sides. Anyway, a little spill in 2019. And we did have one in 2020. Now, this is a bit of a misnomer because this weekly signal was actually late. We had such a big, deep V recovery. But I bet you $1,000 there was an hourly bow tie first, or $1,000,000, because I know there was, just without even seeing the charts. They had to be to the downside. So there was an hourly bow tie, a daily bow tie, a weekly bow tie, which was late, so scratch that. So hourly bow tie, daily bow tie. And then it was also a TFM 10% sell system right before the market began to sell off in earnest. Actually, it was a sell signal, and then the market bounced around a couple of weeks, and then it imploded. And that kind of dovetails into what I used to say about you have time, but not unlimited time to get out of the way. So obviously on a weekly basis, we're back to being red, and we have been red for a long time. And we obviously have rolled over, and we obviously are still in a bear market. Now, just a real quick follow-up on the TFM 10% system. Let me just breeze through this quickly. This is what I call the buy line. And it's 50 weeks. You take the 50-week closing high and subtract 10% from it. Okay. And that needs to be moved over just a little bit right there. Okay. But you get the idea. So right here would be your 50-week closing high. And it's going to have to go 50 weeks, by the way, before it drops to this being, before it drops to this being the 50-week closing high, and then this, and then I guess it would be here, and maybe here, and so on and so forth. But anyway, this line, this green line, is not going to drop until you have at least 50 weeks, and that's a little lag that's kind of built into the system to help prevent the whipsaw, that plus the daylight filter. And the parameters, again, are up there, so 90% would be 90% of the 50-week closing high, or 10% less, however you want to look at that. Anyway, and sell signal. Sell signal is just a close below the buy line and a close below the 50-week moving average. We had a buy-in here, as I've said ad nauseum. I didn't see it. I didn't recognize it. Somebody pointed it out to me. And if you took the signal, you lost 5%. But guess what? You also avoided losing 15%. If you took the next sell signal. Now, getting back to Mr. Baleo and Gayad, again, bad things can happen when you're below the 200-day moving average or the 50-week moving average or the buy line and or the buy line. And, you know, let's look at the bright side too. When things are going well, good things can happen. Two. And one thing that Greg Morris taught me is markets just don't make an all-time high and crash. And that's why I did a whole presentation, or much of a presentation, I should say, on you have time, but you don't have unlimited time. So now we did have the sell signal. It took a while to have this sell signal kick in, but let's take a look at the market top. Okay. Well, let's not count the closing high. Let's just count the high. Okay. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So you had like 20 weeks, almost a half a year for this market to really begin to roll over. So you have some time, but you don't have unlimited time. And one thing that I've seen with this TFM 10% system is like in 87, when the market truly did crash, you did have a sell signal right before that crash. But it took weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to get to that sell signal. So everybody thinks the crash in 87 was everything's going fine, and then the market crashes. It was like, no, everything is not fine. Everything is getting weaker. Everything is looking pretty ugly in here. Hourly bow tie, I'm sure, okay? Willing to bet my life on that. We had an hourly bow tie before it crashed, okay? We had a TFM 10% system, sell signal, and probably a plethora of other signals, but those signals took time to happen. So when you think about market timing, especially if you guys are trying to, I know you guys know because you're traders, but if you're trying to teach somebody who doesn't understand markets, just say, look, the market just doesn't crash overnight. It begins to roll over, roll over, roll over. It's kind of a Chinese water torture. And then people throw in the towel, and that's when it crashes. Sometimes that's when bad things can happen. As I've said quite a bit, back when I received my first sell signal for the TFM 10% system, I told one of the buddies, or both the buddies actually, that I work out with, and I said, you better talk to your guy. And he said, I did. And I said, well, what did he say? He says, well, he says, we're getting more aggressive now that the market is lower. And I kind of wear my feelings on my sleeve. I'm not a good poker player, unless I'm drinking, but that's another story. And I often get in a lot of trouble with my wife because I'll make a face, roll my eyes or whatever. But anyway, I must have rolled my eyes. And he got defensive and he kind of got a little loud and puffed his chest out and said, hey, my guy's made me a lot of money. And I'm like, well, I think the market has made you a lot of money, because I don't know exactly when you got in with your guy, but I know that the last couple of years have been pretty good for the buy and hold, okay? Even with the pandemic, you know? But he said, what's the worst can happen? And I said, well, you lose half your money and it takes 25 years to get it back. People often don't believe me when I say that. Now I just say nothing. When I'm at a cocktail party, I'm just saying, well, I don't know, it looks like it's going down to me, and enjoying my drink. And I used to get in heated debates with people because nobody believes me when I tell them it could take 25 years to come back. And all you have to do is look at the charts. And I've seen people a lot smarter than me, such as Greg Morris, write articles about the fact that it takes a long time to come back. So maybe I should refer him to somebody like that. You know, hey, this guy used to run $8 billion, five or eight, I forget, somewhere in between, maybe six. And it's on the homepage of my website. And you know, this is what he says. So anyway, the worst could happen is pretty ugly. Now, what I did was I put a line in here at 20. And the media defines a bear market as 20% or more drop, okay? And I would look back about 80 bars, or exactly 80 bars, but this was I did it on a monthly chart, so we'd go back and go all the way back to the beginning of time. And this is this little graph at the bottom just shows you how bad things get from that closing high. So if you're looking at the CFM 10% system and you had this plotted in the bottom of the S&P, you'd see that right now, for instance, we're 24% off the highs. Okay, so that's how bad it could get. And then obviously, if you take a look at where the media defines a bear market, that 20% territory, you could see that we pushed it at 20% quite a few times over the years. Now, one thing I'm wondering is, are these cycles exacerbated because everybody's got a computer and a desk? It used to be that way back in the day, you read books like Livermore and stuff, there was a big delay in reporting of everything, so markets didn't move at hyper speed. In fact, the way Livermore made his money was he would watch the, I guess it was delayed tape or whatever, in the bucket houses, and they would give him an instant fill. In reality, if you were to try to buy stock, by the time they got the order in and it went all the way to New York and then it came all the way back through telegrams or however they did it way back then, Morse code, I don't know, you would get a much, 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 much different price. But the bucket shops figured that most of these guys are going to blow out anyway. So instead of actually making the trade for them, they would bucket it, hence the word bucket shop. So I think that the instantaneous trading that we have now could exacerbate these cycles. And that's just my thinking. But if you look at this chart, and we only have 2000 and 2008 to go off of, but if we go 2000 and then 2008, so that's what, 8 years, and then we do it again now as we are, and I guess we came pretty darn close during the pandemic. We might have gotten there during the pandemic. I don't know. But it looks like the frequency could be increasing. I don't know. We'll have to pay attention to that. That's one thing I'm concerned about. Now, I thought it'd be kind of cool. I know you want to party with me, but if we take a look at like 40% or more drops, you can see that we've had quite a few of those throughout history. Now, the whole premise when I designed the TFM 10% system was to avoid those diaper change moments, a term I stole from Ian McActivy. And as I often say, unfortunately, Ian's no longer with us. There's a joke in my head, but I better not, because it might come out political. So let's just say I don't see dead people, so I'm not going to be calling out Ian's name tonight looking for him. But wonderful guy. And didn't even know he knew who it was once, and he was doing a presentation remotely because he was a little under the weather, and he starts talking about Dave Landry's Big Blue Arrows, and that's before I knew him in person, so I was flattered. Anyway, great guy, but he calls it the diaper change moment. That could be any kind of thing that when markets blow up, long-term capital management created some diaper change moments, stuff like that. Anyway, so I updated the charts or this spreadsheet. And the diaper change is now 15%. At least it was when I updated, when the low of the move was 36.10. I don't know if 36.10 was the exact low that held today, or if that low held. But getting out of the system, getting out of the market on the last sell signal, even if you got caught up in that whipsaw signal, you would have avoided a 15% loss. Now, what was the cost of that? Well, if you did get sucked into that whipsaw, you would have lost 5%, okay? And, you know, whipsaws happen. It happens, okay? Spelled with a silent SH. But what's kind of amazing as I'm doing this live, just looking at this, the losing trades really aren't that bad in here if you think about it. And most of the trades are black, and some of them, as you can see, are pretty good, like right here. 186% move, okay? And the way you beat buy and hold is you don't occasionally lose half of your money. As I preach, market timing is less about beating the market. Forget about the holy grail hunt, okay? And just figure out how not to get creamed every now and then. And I think a simple little system like this will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Now, again, that whipsaw, as one of you guys that took the signal and you were a little frustrated with me because I didn't pronounce the signal and I didn't take it, so to speak, because I didn't even notice it was a signal because it wasn't really within the designer's intent of the system. So I create a system and I report it to you like this mechanically because it's a market timing, broad market timing system. But in general, I don't follow everything mechanically. Just like I showed you that hourly bow tie. Let's say I was following hourly bow ties and it's like, okay, it's green. Green means go. That's good. Wait a minute. What have you done for me lately? As Miss Janet once said, or Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. I'm going to date myself with that reference. Huh? The market's going sideways, so let's not get too excited. Let's start kissing each other just yet. But so what? Let's say you took the signal and you lost 5% of your trade on that and you're a little upset. Well, guess what? If you took the next signal that got you out, you would have avoided losing 15% of your money. And unfortunately, and counting, I hope not, but it doesn't look too good at this juncture. So you could survive frustration, okay? But you can't survive devastation. Now, I know it's a little late to talk about market timing, but trust me, you guys here, I know you all know me, so just bear with me a second. But to everybody else out there in YouTube land or on DaveLander.com, keep in mind that way back last August, when the market was making new highs, I purposely waited for the market to make new highs before I talked about market timing. And those segments we'll call before the bomb blows up. And I think everybody needs to learn market timing. And guess what? you know, see some friends recently, family recently. They're all down in the dumps. I'm like, why are you down in the dumps? Well, I'm losing all my money. It's like, well, you don't hear me. And it's frustrating. What's going to happen is I'm going to get a call when they're down 30%, 40%. And, you know, I'll show them the charts. Well, it could go down 50% or more. NASDAQ went down 70-something percent, 73%, 4%, something like that. Lost half and then half again, whatever that comes to, 75% maybe. And it just, you know, it's damned if I do and damned if I don't. And that's why I said, okay, I'm going to get ahead of it this time. And human nature never changes. And maybe because human nature never changes, and that's a microcosm of everyone else out there, maybe that's why technical analysis and trend following specifically still works. So where was I going with this? There was a sell signal. Yeah, here we go. That's a diaper change right there. That was 13%, and now we've taken that out, and we're well below that. So anything down here is greater than 13%. And as of today, at least when I checked the system to update the sheet, we were down over 15%. Just real quick, as I've been saying, you know, some is better than none. As Greg taught me, you always get something good out of Greg, as I preach almost every week. The tables they make, the actuaries or whatever you want to call the people that preach the buy and hold and hand a little script over to these buy and hope asset gatherers. I've met so many people in this business that have become traders because they thought they'd become a broker and that would be like a trader. And then they quickly found out that they're just asset gatherers. They're not trading. They're not timing the market. They're not looking out for the client's best interest. They are gathering assets. That's their whole job. The more AUM, I think they call it, assets under management, they get, the more money they make. But anyway, 81 years, that's how long this 12% a year number, whatever. There was a DJ, not a DJ, but I'm not going to say his name, but there was this person out there. He's still out there too. And I think he was shilling some mutual funds in addition to telling you how to deal with your debt and finances. And he was preaching just buy and hold, and because you'll make 12% a year. And it's like, naughty a dog, Danny. It doesn't have to be rocket science. Even systems with more on their name could do quite well. Think in terms of performance-based investing. That's some apologetics for technical analysis that I've been working on lately. And that's one way of looking at it is, if things aren't performing, you have to get out of the way. You have to get rid of stocks. I drop an F-bomb, I'm going to get stopped out. But you know what? 10 seconds later, I could care less. I'm already looking for the next trade. Again, shit happens. Might take 25 years to come back. And, you know, here's the thing that's key. If you lose a lot of money, it's not just the money you lost. It's your feelings attached to that money that make it really tough. And as I've said ad nauseum, one of my buddies who was down about 30% and worse, was getting worse during the pandemic, he was over here and I tell him all these things and he turned white. It's like, dude, you've been knowing me for 10 years, you know? Watch the market in a minute. Whatever. This one's a biggie. See each position to its fruition. When you're getting spanked, like last Friday, my positions were getting creamed and I made the mistake of adding up the equity in my head, as I often do. It was a very expensive day, but one stopped out and two or three of those actually came back quite a bit, substantially. And as I showed last week, we have one, and I don't know where we are since it sold off and bounced back a little, but when I did the chart, it was up 77% for the year. Had we exited that, we would be missing a big, huge cushion. And as you know, the money comes in chunks. And if you look at the Trading Simplified show that I did, I went back about, I forget how many trades, 50 or so trades in the service, just 2 years, whatever that adds up to. and I grabbed all the trades, and I made a little chart and showed how the money comes in chunks with the trend following. True abouts, not listening, but some self-included need a slap. Yeah, you know, every now and then you need to be hitting the head with a halibut. Anybody ever see that video? That I wonder if that's fake or real, but this is woman newscaster or something in a storm and a halibut comes flying out of nowhere. Anyway, real quick, I have a Facebook group, but you have to qualify by being a gold member at least of DaveLanner.com, or even better, a service member. And we have a really good group of traders, and we talk about this VIX stuff and trades and when conditions are good, IPOs and opening gap reversals. And we haven't seen a lot of that lately, but we keep chipping away at it nonetheless. Anyway, love my group. I love you people. I love you guys. I think most of you are here tonight. Crypto, I want to show you a trade real quick that I did during right before last week's show. If you guys go back to last fall when things were blowing and going, I was doing trades during the show because I'd see stuff and it looked good. One point I want to make is you do still want to do your analysis, even though nothing might come from it. And I can almost guarantee you that I would not be spending a couple hours a day looking at a couple thousand charts in this environment, because I know deep down I'm not going to find anything. And the reason I'm doing that is I know that my clients are depending on me to try to find something. And as I've said quite a bit, there's been times where clients give up, and then that literally that night, going to watch a Trading Simplified show on my website, DaveLanner.com, for more on that. But that night I found two of the best setups of the year, and that's happened throughout my career. Anyway, I want to show you something with this real quick. Just looking at it, you can see, looking at the 230 EMA system. If you want to Google that, it's a 2/20 EMA system, or just go to the quick clips on my YouTube page, and I'll put a link at the end of this to those in post. But the system, basically, you need two bars of daylight, and then you look to enter above the high. It's a little breakout system. And in any efficient market like crypto, especially when it's blowing and going, it can work really well. But when things are just chopping around, you've got to be careful with something like this or anything trend following or breakout in nature. So the entry would have been above that high. It goes back down to the 30 EMA, resets itself. Bar one daylight, bar two daylight. Daylight's just lows greater than moving average. Again, look at those quick clips for more on that. And you would enter above that high. Technically, that would have been an entry, but the system does call for some wiggle room above. So maybe that one would have been avoided, bar one, bar two. And then you want to enter above that high. Now, that's not why I got in it, but I saw there was daylight. I was doing my analysis right before I went live, and I'm like, hey, this thing looks pretty darn good. And just for S&Gs, I took a token position in it, so you're not going to be blown away. And all I had in this particular account was like $1,000 or whatever, so I just put it all in this C pool. And this is just to show you a couple things. One, that sometimes you can find opportunities when there's not a whole lot out there. And two, you've got to keep doing your homework. And I've been real lax in doing my crypto homework because it's just haven't been anything in crypto either. But all I did was I entered at the market because it was on that big breakout bar and it looked good. And it did come back in a little bit after I entered. But my stop was down below the moving average. And then just to keep the math simple on these volatile little shit coins, SHYT coins, I'll just look for a 20% gain. So this is probably not even $100 for this trade. But I got a free position. I'm going to hang on for S&Gs and see what happens. And worst case scenario, I'll get stopped out at a small gain. All right, let's hop into, let me shift gears here and we'll go over to live crypto. And then if you guys have any crypto pairs you want to look at, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. It's just not a lot to do. So there's that C pool, as you can see, right before the week of charts, it was breaking out here. This is what I got in. And let's take a look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin in more recent times has been a colossal disappointment. My hopes, and I know you never hope in the markets, my hopes were that it would be this alternative investment and it would be doing really, really great during bear markets. But as I've shown before, if you superimpose Bitcoin over the S&P 500, there's a very highly positive correlation for the most part. So that's Bitcoin, Ethereum. Ethereum's not doing so hot either. You got downside Landry Light, falling highs. So there's certainly nothing to do there. Shiba, I loved the little Shiba. I even bought the Shiba shirt and I bought into it. It was fun. I mean, you know, there's a case where a small investment, like a grand or two, whatever it was I put in, paid off like $5,000 or $6,000 or something really stupid. But right now, what's it doing? Absolutely nothing. So leave that alone. All right, any pairs you guys want to look at, I'll just do a quick sort by strength. As I've said ad nauseum way back last fall, if you wanted to make money in crypto, all you had to do was sort by the strongest ones and just rush out and buy them. I would not attempt that now, okay? Unless there's something that kind of looks cool that's breaking out and breaking away like the C pool. Anybody, y'all want to know what they do? I have no clue. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Don't confuse the issue with facts. If it's going up, you want to buy it. An Indian friend once, and he said, if they found out that intravenous drug use was on the rise, he would be buying hypodermic needles. I don't know why. He didn't talk like an Indian. That's how he talked for some reason. I have to look him up. I wonder whatever happened to him. See, this is something that's kind of, what's this? Let's go back one. This MV caught my eye earlier. I mean, it's got some issues longer term. Maybe for a short-term trade, though, it might do something. But you can see it's trying to break away a little bit. If I can get this chart to expand. I don't know how to reset this. But anyway, there's nothing too exciting. I know it's boring. There's just nothing exciting here. I mean, crypto was so exciting for a while. I started even working on Saturdays and doing presentations on Saturdays. I did the coffee and crypto because it was great. If you had to do something, this is somewhat interesting. It's a 1-2-230 EMA breakout. I do not have a position here, but if you felt like you had to buy something, that's the only thing that looks like it might be worthwhile at this juncture. All right, let's shift gears back to stocks. If you guys don't have any crypto you want to talk about, so we'll get into stocks. All right, let's hop into the overall market, and then let's take a look at a couple of ancillary markets in here. First, S&P 500, off their worst levels today, but still down 2%, okay? And you can see on a closing basis, we're right where we were in 2020, end of 2020. Now, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to know that anybody who has owned stocks prior to 2020, and especially those people who bought in 2020 because they bought into this buy and hold Kool-Aid that these idiots drink, is now underwater. Oh, we're into the long term though. Well, you know, sometimes your long term, like my buddy, you know, mid-50s, your long term starts becoming short term, okay? But you can see that lowest levels is 2020, so that begins to put more and more pressure. Now, here's the other thing to think about. You see this big old mound of trading, okay? Anybody who bought stocks here, now that we're here, is losing money, okay? Think about that. Nothing magical about technical analysis, all right? But if you think about the pressure that's put on people, okay? You got inflation, you need more money to buy things, the economy will probably come to a screeching halt. And people are going to need money. I know I'm confusing the issue with facts, but I'm just kind of giving you some reasoning as to why they might sell. Now, the reason they might sell on a purely technical basis is because they're losing money. And you could lose money for so long, and then sometimes you need money, and then you have to sell. Bonds are ugly. TLT is a proxy for bonds. I like to look at fairly persistent downtrend as of late. Little bit of a bounce, but that's looking pretty ugly. The dollar has really hung in there. As I've been saying, dog with least fleas. I think that's a great thing. I don't know what's going to happen. Anybody want to speculate? If the dollar begins to crash, I don't think that would be a good thing. I really don't. But the high dollar does put pressure on commodities. It brings the prices down because you have more dollars to buy the commodities. Conversely, if the dollar begins to drop, commodities become expensive because you're buying them with cheaper dollars. And it takes more dollars to buy them. A little intermarket technical analysis there, a little free lesson. NASDAQ composite just off of these multi-year lows, not too much further to go. To get there, take a look at the Rusty. Rusty right off those multi-year lows, not quite there yet, or at least we were there. We were there here, I think, or close, within a gnat's eyelash, right, of 2020 trading, 2020 levels. Energies have been a bit of a disappointment. Remember how I've been saying ad nauseum in the service, go in and watch the archives if you can't sleep at night, that I don't like bottoms at tops. Okay, so it's a big old fat top. I rather bottoms at bottoms. I like bottoms like down here, okay, as opposed to when a market makes like back here, even a bottom at a top, you know. So we're still at these relatively high levels longer term. And the thing is, by the time you get all the way back to the old highs, the market is very, very, very overbought and hard to sustain that rally. And unfortunately, it rolled right back over. So that's kind of ugly. Metals and mining looking pretty ugly too. As you can see, really throw a dart. And you know, take a look at non-durables. Now, people still have bodily functions and need non-durables during a bear market, right? Well, usually non-durables can be a bit of a flight to safety, which I wouldn't recommend at all, but sometimes people will go to the non-durables as a defensive area, is what I'm trying to get to. But that's not happening. In fact, if anything, the durables are getting flush, no pun intended. Financials, pretty ugly, pretty serious downtrend. Biotech was strong on a relative strength basis, but then rolled back over. Pretty weak today, kind of all over the place. Take a look at the transports. They're looking really ugly, as you can see. Trading back to where they were when in 2020. Okay. And just a couple more to go through. Software not doing so hot, back trading below its lows for the year, or trading around its lows for the year. And again, you can go all the way back to 2020 there. And I'm sorry, that was software. I don't know if I call it transports. Transports we just looked at. Semiconductors are looking really ugly too. Now, I'm a huge fan of having the semis confirm what you're seeing in the market. Ideally, you want the semis to go up and the market to go up, as opposed, I'm not as worried about the transports, but in this case, transports look abysmal, as do the semis. So somebody once argued, well, the semiconductors are the transportation highway for the digital age, right? But I don't know about you, but I'm still getting a lot of packages coming. Credit by works at a plant that makes the paper. I'm like, they're still making paper in this day and age? How many boxes from Amazon do you have on your front porch right now? So evidently there's still a demand for boxes out there. All right, let's open up for stock questions. You guys want to take a look at anything? There's not much to look at. I saw a couple of shippers in my nightly analysis. I saw a short in biotech, none of which I will be taking. All right, going once, going twice. Well, while we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for watching. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. Anything unanswered, DaveLanner.com/contact. And obviously, you guys just bring it up in Facebook and we'll noodle with it. And if it's something more private, then you could private message me there if you need to. So again, thank everybody for coming and may the trend be with you. Oh, no show next week because of ChartCon. I'll be at ChartCon. I'll be in Seattle at ChartCon. I have a house sitter and we're heavily armed here, so don't even think about it. I actually have a sign in my yard. Surprised my wife to maybe take it down. It says, if you could read this, you're in range. So anyway, everybody enjoy your next couple of weekends and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much.